Welcome back to the Pleasurable Money Podcast. My name is Megan, and I'm so happy to have you here. I wanted to talk a little bit about JoJo Siwa's rebrand and, in my opinion, how it was a flop. You may be in a stage in your business where you have built a brand, you've built a multi-six-figure business that feels sturdy, it feels reliable, but something is missing. And you might be considering bringing in a little bit more spice. You might be considering bringing in a little bit more like adult themes to your business, getting a little bit more controversial and sharing more of your opinions and your spicy hot takes in your business and starting to ruffle some feathers. It is a maturity that a lot of businesses come to this crossroads of like, do I continue to be the good girl, the angel in my business, making sure that everyone feels good and I'm catering to all of my past clients, even though I have matured and transformed and grown since the beginning of my business? I came to that very same crossroads, and I feel like it's a crossroads. It is a repeating crossroads that we come to of like, okay, we could continue to get a little bit more spicy. We can continue to go deeper and hotter and more controversial, more divisive in our language and in our content. Or we can continue on this path of keeping it a little bit spicy, but like not too spicy. Like we don't want to ruffle too many feathers. This decision comes over and over and over again as we mature, as we develop, and as we transform as business owners. And I think that JoJo Siwa was not the first to flop on introducing a more mature version of herself as she grew up from like child star. But we've seen a lot of really good case studies like Miley Cyrus and Demi Lovato that were successful in their rebrand from child star to, hey, I'm a fucking adult now and I'm not catering to childish things anymore. And look, if you are maybe not ready or that you don't see that in your path to start spicing up your business, then listen to this episode with a grain of salt or just for entertainment purposes. You don't have to take any of this to heart if it doesn't apply to you. But I would love it if you stuck around and listened to the whole thing because I think it's going to be beneficial regardless. So let's talk a little bit about what JoJo was known for. If you don't know, she was on Dance Moms. She was a very successful dancer coming from Dance Moms. And actually, I didn't even know, but she made music. I never watched Dance Moms. It was not a part of my pop culture reality growing up. So I didn't know much about her, but she grew up as a child star known for her bows and her colorful outfits. She was a great dancer on Dance Moms, and she also produced music. And she was a kid. She made kid-friendly music. I believe she started on Dance Moms when she was like 9 or 10. And so she grew up in the entertainment industry. She grew up creating childish themes, and she grew up as a very specific persona with the bows, colorful wardrobe. And then a few years ago, she came out as a lesbian, and that ruffled a lot of feathers in the community for sure. But we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about her most recent shift from being a child star known for bows and colorful outfits to an adult. She's 21 now, 20 or 21, who wears black. She's a lot more edgy. She doesn't wear the bows anymore. She styles her hair differently. She wears different makeup. She speaks differently. She curses. And there was a lot of like build up to this transition for her, this like her letting people know in her audience, like, hey, you have 2 weeks before I completely change my whole persona. Like, I've been kind of teasing it. I've changed my wardrobe. I've changed the way I speak. But once I drop this next single, like, no more kid-friendly JoJo Siwa. So, like, she was basically telling the parents in her audience, that, like, she's no longer for their children. And so at the iHeartRadio Music Awards, she released her new music, Karma. She performed it for the first time. And talk about a lot of mixed responses from her fan base. I mean, like, seriously, we had people saying, oh my God, that's so cringe. We had people making fun of the way she danced. And it was a lot of criticism towards her for the way that she transitioned. Not only that, other things came out about the song being that she wasn't the first to purchase and record that song. Another singer had recorded a version of the song back in the 2010s. She had never released it. And so JoJo and her team had purchased the song, recorded it, and released it. So there's just a lot of things that could have gone differently for JoJo. I think that a lot of the internet right now is trolling her, and it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. She debuted this very dramatic look in the iHeartRadio Music Awards when she performed Karma, inspired by Kiss. She had these bejeweled black and silver bodysuit, star-shaped face paint. And it was really, and everything was like black and silver. So she was really marking this transition, this line in the sand between her former persona and her new persona. And even the music video of Karma came out and it was very sexual, strong language. It was, this rebrand was very multifaceted, involving not only her physical appearance, but also her musical content and the way she danced in this video. I mean, it's not anything. As an adult, as a 31-year-old woman, I've seen way more raunchy stuff. But for her, it's a big step. It's a big step. And so she got some applause for her courage and authenticity in expressing her evolution. And others felt like they missed the old JoJo. And even others were like, this is so cringe. This is... like, what are you doing? Now, I have also gone through not a similar rebrand because my rebrand was nothing on the level of JoJo's, but I have gone through several iterations of my own business and coming from a place of being in finance, being very buttoned up, not cursing, wearing certain types of clothes, not speaking about anything that was controversial in any way, being the very stereotypical financial expert, to owning my own business and feeling like, no, this is something that I want to portray and I get to do business my own way and I get to incorporate cuss words and raunchy music of my own and different brand themes in my business that express me as a person and as someone who is more spicy. I enjoy talking about the taboo. I enjoy talking about things that, like sex and money, that are tantalizing and interesting, but so shame-ridden in our world. Let's move on from talking about JoJo's rebrand to talking about how you can go about rebranding your business in a successful and not so triggering way as JoJo did. So first, I want us to talk about the way we can really evaluate the elements of your brand that are currently most effective and beloved by your customers. Your core brand strengths are going to be the things that you're clients constantly comment on. They think of you when they do them themselves. Like, so say you go to Starbucks every day, you get the same drink, you post it on your stories. That's a small example of something that your audience can grab onto. And when they go to Starbucks, they're sending you pictures of their drinks or saying, oh my gosh, I ordered the same drink as you. I thought of you. These types of things, that is like a lifestyle aspect of your brand that your audience can grab onto, but there are many other things, deeper things like your actual brand values, how you teach about your content. For instance, my thing is pleasure. My thing is play. Talking about pleasure practices when it comes to healing our relationship with money. My audience sends me their pleasure practices all the time. I took a bath. I set the mood. I lit some incense. Look, I did some color. I put some color in the room. They send me their pictures all the time. So choosing the elements of your brand that are going to be, that are going to stand out the most, to be the first that you actually implement the spicy aspects to, will help you set the tone for the rest of your brand. Because the people who are already obsessed with that part of your brand are going to respond the most intensely, the most dramatically. And I want to prepare you. You will lose audience members. There will be people who don't like it. They will auto filter themselves out of your audience, and more people who fucking love it will auto subscribe. They will automatically be attracted and magnetized to you. I know that you are probably worried about those people who would leave, or alienating the past audience, the past clients that you've actually worked with, that might see this as a disappointment or something that they no longer want to be a part of. And that can be painful. And we can acknowledge that part of the journey. We can acknowledge that part of the rebrand and also move forward with the things that are going to make you feel the most in alignment with your business. Absolutely mourn the loss. Mourn those people who used to be your raving fans and get excited. Prepare yourself for even bigger diehard fans of your business and your brand and your person. Now, I fully believe that we don't have to explain anything to anyone, but if you would like, you can come up with some reasons to effectively communicate the benefits of these changes to your existing audience. And that may ease the transition for a lot of them. If they feel like they are going to get a better experience of your brand because you are expressing yourself more authentically, then they will more likely stick around. And I think that the audience should be involved in a brand's implementation of new themes. So if you're called to conducting surveys or focus groups to engage the reactions and get your audience's input, is going to make them feel a bigger part of your brand, like it's a community, like we all had a say in what you have become. And some things you may choose to keep as sacred and same, and you can encourage your audience that certain things won't change. The values of your business, the mission, the overall mission in this world may not change, but certain things about how you express yourself may change. And it might be a good idea to actually propose ways of like creating excitement around the rebrands, like special events or promotions, giveaways, in order to help your audience see that this really is a good thing. This is not something that they are losing. This is not something to be disappointed about. Storytelling is really going to be your best friend when it comes to spinning the narrative of this new rebrand, because your audience is going to want to see the culmination, the journey that you went on. For example, if you said things like, I used to be like this, and it got my clients these results, and that was great, but now I'm like this, and these are the types of results that my clients are going to get now. It's going to be important to keep track of your engagement, your statistics, your views, so that you can tweak your strategy moving forward, because you're basically beginning a new brand. You're basically starting over while actually having an audience watching you. Which, you know, is probably more intimidating than starting without an audience. But keeping track of where your clients are reacting and resonating with the change versus where they're not will help you adjust your strategy and make it much more tailored and effective to your audience actually accepting this rebrand as a positive thing. It's gonna be a learning curve. It's a new business. It's a new vibe. It's a new you. You are acting differently with your audience, so I encourage you to have fun with it and enjoy the process. And it is your job, it is your duty as the face of your brand, as the CEO of your brand, to be able to clearly, confidently see a vision for where the brand is actually headed and how it can inspire your audience and your team and your customers. Again, this rebrand is going to magnetize the right audience to you. They are going to flock to you when you start being even more authentically aligned with your message. And the more conviction your audience sees in your messaging, in the words that you use, the more convinced, and I say convinced in quotation marks, that you will give them an amazing transformation. Because we don't want to convince anybody. We're not trying to convince somebody to buy our product, but we will be more convincing. We will have more conviction in our transformation, and people will respond to that and buy from you. Rebranding is more than just a facelift for your business. It's a strategic move towards greater alignment with your evolving goals and the changing market. So staying true to the core values that define you, but not shying away from the bold steps forward, are going to be striking the perfect balance in this rebrand process for you. My own personal rebrand, or seasons of rebranding over and over and over again, have been illuminating, have been completely dysregulating to my nervous system, and have been incredibly humbling because it has allowed me to redirect, refocus, redefine my messaging, and redefine the types of clients that I want to work with. If your clients are no longer resonating with the type of work that you want to put out, they're not going to buy from you. So see this as a growth opportunity. It's an amazing thing to do because it's going to magnetize the right people to you. I want to know what your thoughts on rebranding are. Have you had a successful rebrand? Have you had an unsuccessful rebrand? Definitely join the conversation on our Instagram page. My Instagram is at sacrednumbers.co. And you can find this podcast wherever you listen, wherever you're listening to it now. If you could leave a review, a 5-star review, and share it with your friends, that would be amazing. I would appreciate it so much. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you next time. Bye.